Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Now, yesterday, by the way, we spoke to Anna Cullen, journalist, about an article that she'd written about narcissism. And obviously Anna's not the expert herself. She's a journalist and she just wanted to give us her impression of, you know, what was going on and what narcissism is and how we recognise narcissistic relationships, et cetera, and just to get out of them, essentially. And during that conversation, of course, she told us that she had interviewed Mike Wilkins, who is a counsellor with the Irish Online Counselling and Psychotherapy Service. And Mike joins me on the line today because we got such a reaction to it yesterday, Mike. It was actually incredible. The amount of people who text and WhatsApped in and said that they felt they were in a narcissistic relationship. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hello, Niall. How are you doing?
Good. Now, Mike, I mean, narcissism, is it as common as I imagine it is?
I think it is, Niall, to be honest. And I'm not surprised that you got such a kind of buzz from the show yesterday.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot going on behind closed doors and... I think people are seeing traits and maybe characteristics in their own kind of partner or at work or, you know, in families. I think it's definitely out there, and I think it's still quite a lot of the idea is hidden behind.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be dealing with so much the narcissist, you'd be dealing with the victims of the narcissist there, because they're the ones that are most likely coming to you with emotional and psychological problems having to deal with that.
Yes, absolutely. You would very rarely get an actual narcissist, I suppose, because one of the traits is that they believe that they are kind of always right, or that the other person is the weak one or the one that's wrong. So you would often get the victim of a narcissist. Yes.
Okay, so for people who were texting and with concerns yesterday, and many people might be in a relationship 10, 20, 30 years,
yes,
and be living with somebody who is narcissistic and gaslights them every now and again. Somebody who basically, you know, everybody else probably thinks they're a wonderful person. It's that whole thing of what goes on behind closed doors. Everybody thinks they're a wonderful person. So the narcissist portrays themselves as this confident person, this nice person, the gentleman or the gentlewoman, as the case may be. Is it more common, by the way, in men or women?
I'd say it'd be more common in men, Niall. But there are, you know, I have spoke to victims, you know, male victims and female victims that have been, you know, at the hands of a female narcissist. You know,
male victims be less likely to come forward as with, say, domestic violence? Would male victims be less likely to come forward because they feel, it's not a macho thing to do, and I shouldn't have allowed myself to be controlled by a woman in that respect? So are you less likely to see male victims?
You would. No, I definitely agree with that. I think males are less likely to step forward. But I think that is changing. I've noticed that in the last couple of years, I think with the COVID situation as well. I think men are more likely to kind of come forward and speak about their feelings. And, you know, for example, it might be a male that has had a narcissist father, you know, so he might not see that as such a shameful thing, you know, that he's been a victim of his dad's kind of traits, I suppose.
Okay, and this is the important thing to point out. It's not just in romantic relationships and people kind of associated with that. It could be a family member or indeed an employer. Your boss, for example, could be a narcissist, somebody who constantly condemns you and criticizes what you do, but never points out the good things until the moment you believe that, or they believe you're going to leave, and then they just throw you a few breadcrumbs, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. In families, you know, parents, siblings, partners, absolutely, kind of at work, employers, colleagues.
Or your own children, for that matter, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of, again, it's everywhere, but kind of quite hidden still, so I'm not surprised there's...
And is it passed on? I mean, obviously it's not something you're born with. It's nurture rather than nature. So, I mean, is it passed on? If a father or somebody comes from a background where the father or mother were narcissistic or had these kind of sociopathic tendencies, does it tend to get passed on then to generations? Like, will the son or the daughter, you know, pick that up as a personality trait?
I think I think part of the problem with narcissist personality disorder, Niall, is the lack of, I suppose, kind of research or finding researching from the origins. I think there is a nature-nurture debate to be had, but I think you do pick up traits from your parents, don't you, and from your family. So if you're mom or dad is very selfish and very kind of self-centered and struggles with empathy, you know, that you may pick up them traits as well, and develop them yourself, yes. So I think there is, it can be kind of passed on, I'd say, in that way.
Okay, and do they overlap? I mean, I don't want people to confuse selfishness with narcissism, because it is very different, but they do overlap, of course, because narcissistic people tend to be quite selfish. I mean, you might be living with somebody who's a little bit selfish and thinks of themselves quite a lot, but they may not be narcissistic, I suppose, because that takes it to a whole new level, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, I think there is, yeah, there is a difference to be had there. I think, you know, with it's one thing being a bit selfish, but there's another thing being kind of maybe completely kind of self-absorbed and also kind of putting down your partner or your kids or your family members for your own, to make yourself look better or to make yourself feel better. So you do, that would be different, I suppose, to a kind of a regular selfish person.
And generally speaking, you know, can or do people recognize it, or do they become, I suppose, immune to it after a while? Because I know people who may have been living with somebody who was narcissistic for, say, 25 years, and then it's only when they get out of that relationship and they look back at it that they go, my God, how did I allow myself to be controlled like that? How did I allow myself to be treated like that and be thrown these breadcrumbs, or gaslighting, as it's called, every now and again? And it's only then when they're with somebody new that they recognise what went on in that relationship.
Yes, absolutely. No, you know, that can definitely happen. You know, being in a relationship for 20 years or being, you know, having a parent and being in the home for 20 years or longer, you know, you don't really, you just kind of accept that that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. Or this is, oh, he had a kind of troubled past, or she had a troubled past, that you kind of put up with it or accept it or get used to it. And that's part of the, I think, the narcissist kind of plan would be to kind of grind you down so you don't have that kind of self-worth or that strength to kind of fight anymore. So you just kind of, you know, subside to the person.
And are narcissists ever violent? Or is that something that they're not? Because that goes into the kind of, you know, sociopathic or psychopathic, I suppose, territory. And are they normally violent? Like, if we go back, say, and we look at some of the famous serial killers, I mean, I don't want to stretch it too far, but the likes of Ted Bundy and people like this, would they have been narcissists?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know necessarily about kind of serial killers in that respect, but I think there is violent traits. I think there is a kind of, I think they can explode. They can be violent in terms of, you know, slamming doors or throwing things. But I suppose that the key element to that is that it would be the other person's fault, that they drove them to it, or they made them do it. So it would be kind of, again, it'd be, the behavior would be excused in their own mind.
So, and I suppose they tend to be probably successful narcissists because they exude confidence constantly all the time, because they believe they're the best people in the world.
Yes, yes, yes. Again, I would say from my experience, Niall, that can be quite a familiar trait, that they may be, you know, they may have good jobs, earn good salaries, be successful, or, you know, run their own businesses, and be quite wealthy, or come from kind of wealthy backgrounds as well, sometimes as well. And again, that might just give them that grandeur, that element of power, I suppose, as well, over someone. Not all the time, but, you know, that I've come across that quite a lot. Yes.
And is it about control? I mean, narcissism, I mean, when you're in it, particularly when we talk about relationships, you know, the narcissist, is it about trying to control the other person and their behaviour, or control them in the relationship?
I think there is control, but I think there's a kind of an element of kind of just to try and have total power over someone and to kind of feed off them and to kind of, like I mentioned earlier, just to grind them down. I think that there is that element, and what you can often find, again, I've come across, where as the relationship maybe is ending, that you would find that the narcissist is moving on to a new person, you know, maybe openly or not so openly, you know, in kind of trying to date someone else or having other relationships kind of in the beginning to move on to the next kind of victim. That can happen as well.
Are they clever enough to be devious and deceitful, and are they liars, essentially, narcissists? Are they generally in any way honest at all?
I think they think they are. think...
So they believe their own lies, essentially, is what you're saying.
I think that is a bit of a kind of... It'd be hard to kind of prove that, I suppose. But again, from my experience, that they are very adamant that they are right on certain issues, that they will kind of argue and argue and argue and swear kind of blind that their point is the right one, even if you know that it may not be. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that is a kind of a considered lie, that they are kind of meaning to do that or not. That would be, I think that would be open to kind of interpretation, but I think there's definitely lying involved and deceit. Mm-hmm. Definitely, yes. But whether they kind of fully know or in control of this, I don't know fully, to be honest.
Okay, because it's a trait, obviously, you know, they may not be in control of their own deceit.
And
what advice would you give to the victims when they come to you and they say, look, you know, I'm living with somebody who I believe is narcissistic. You know, I'm being gaslighted on a regular basis, treated like dirt, but generally gaslighted every now and again to stop me running away. Would you tell them to leave? I mean, or could you say, well, I mean, was it possible to change somebody who's narcissistic or to open their eyes to the fact of the way they're treating other people? Is that possible?
Well, I think they would. I mean, again, I think, like I just mentioned, I think that they, in their minds, that they feel that nothing is wrong or that they don't need to change, that it's the other person. The other person is at fault. So I think they could change if they really kind of sat down and really wanted to talk about their traits and to see if they could try and make some changes. I mean, when a person does come to me, I mean, I know it's easy just to say, oh, just leave. I know it's not always as easy as that. If there are kind of houses and children and different things, finances at play. So I just try to kind of listen to them and kind of give them a space to kind of vent their frustrations in the situation to show them that they aren't going crazy or being silly. That is often a quite a familiar thing that I hear, that mm-hmm. they think that they are being stupid for putting up with this. But it is a real gradual process.
But the narcissist is probably telling them they're crazy, you know? So they start to believe that themselves then. It's like, you know, we spoke to a girl here on the air one day and her husband was having an affair. Mm. And she had caught him on numerous occasions or got evidence on numerous occasions, but he tried to convince her that she was mad and she was losing her mind. And she started to believe that herself, that started doubting herself, maybe I am losing my mind. You know what I mean? Yeah. And this is kind of narcissistic behaviour. Somebody says here, by the way, in a text, they say this type of personality is creating havoc in relationships, but are very commonly supported as CEOs in companies, etc. More awareness and intervention is required. That comes in from Dee, who's a psychotherapist. And she said they're trying to control their own sense of low self-esteem. Mm. So in other words, the narcissist needs to feed off other people to boost their own self-esteem and self-confidence.
Yes, or they could be, you know, not hiding, but they could be kind of living with kind of past trauma themselves, you know, kind of disruptive childhoods or, you know, kind of overdeveloped, you know, self-worth or kind of being neglected or not. You know, there's a lot of potential factors for this. But yeah, like the lady said there, they are kind of, again, would be quite high up in positions and people that you wouldn't necessarily want to cross or believe that they could be narcissists, I suppose.
There's a lot of questions, by the way, coming in. Obviously, people have their own personal situations. I know you can't answer every one of them. I know. And somebody said, so what causes narcissism? This would be helpful to know. I mean, I don't think even you have the answer to that, Mike, as to what causes it. Maybe it is low self-esteem. Maybe it is that idea that they feel they need to be verified in society or they need to be sort of vindicated somewhere in society, you know, as to being this wonderful person.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There isn't, I don't think there is a kind of definitive cause, but...
What advice would you give to somebody? Sorry for cutting across. What advice would you give to somebody if they felt they're in a relationship, be it, by the way, in a romantic relationship or maybe in work and they have a boss? What advice would you give to somebody in that situation? Get out?
Probably that would be the best way out is to get out, but... I would say, you know, to kind of reach out to someone, you know, a trusted friend, a trusted colleague, a trusted family member, just to kind of say how you're feeling and just to say what is happening here. And I think most people would kind of identify that it isn't right behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you claim it as a narcissist or different things, but you can just say that this isn't right, what is happening here. So I would definitely reach out to a kind of, yeah, a trusted person, you know, a friend that you can really confide in. And I would also, even though just to, you know, to seek kind of professional help as well, again, just to have that.
Because that it can be very damaging to somebody's, to their own self-confidence and self-esteem and self-worth.
Massively. And I mean, I often speak to people, the most people I speak to is at the kind of the end of the relationship or the, you know, the relationship with someone. So there is a lot of damage. There is a lot of kind of self-doubt. There is a lot of kind of doubting your own kind of worth and your own, even just to do the most simplest things, that the confidence and your kind of life has been kind of drained out of you. Almost. That's what I see a lot, and a lot of kind of anger and upset at themselves for not recognizing this, or how could they be so stupid, and all these things, which obviously I try to say that this is over a period of time, the love bombing, all of these things that make you feel good, they may catch you at a kind of vulnerable time in your life as well, which kind of makes it easier for them to kind of get the claws in, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're not being stupid at all, but I would, if you do feel something's not quite right or that the behavior isn't quite right, I would definitely try and, like I said, speak to a friend, a colleague, family member, or even a professional person, just to have that space, just so that you know that you're not going crazy here, or you're not being silly, that the other person is at fault.
All right, well, listen, it's very interesting. It's intriguing, Mike. And so many people are texting in and find themselves in that situation. You know, I mean, I'm looking at some of the texts. I have a friend who's really a prisoner in her own home. Her husband has totally isolated her from all of us. He used to regularly check her phone, but now she doesn't have a phone. So none of us can call her or contact her. I mean, that's dreadful.
No, and that's another quite common trait. No, unfortunately, the isolation to cut ties with friends, family, maybe move away from where you live, you know, all in a way of maybe for work or for a better life, seemingly, but it is that kind of isolation and cutting someone off from their friends and family.
Yeah, and another person says here, Niall, I just put a narcissist out today after trying to give it my best. In other words, somebody else says, can a narcissist be helped? Well, I think Mike has answered that already. Probably not, because they don't realise they're a narcissist. They think they're right all the time. Victims often find the narcissist individual has involved their other friendships and isolated the victim. Yeah, I think we've just covered that as well. Somebody else says, Niall, I'm living with a narcissist for the last 10 years, but I find it difficult to get out because I love him so much.
Yeah.
That can be very difficult, because obviously this particular individual is being gaslighted every now and again.
Yeah, it's not always easy just to leave, because there is that love, or there is, you know, they remember the love bombing. They remember or that they feel sorry for the person because of maybe childhood trauma or events in their life that makes them stay.
Yeah.
They're basically being abused emotionally, you know, psychologically.
All right, listen, thank you. It's been very interesting, Mike, and thank you for the few tips there that you gave us today, and for people how to recognise if you're in one of those situations. Mike Wilkinson, counsellor with the Irish Online Counselling and Psychotherapy Service.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.